Welcome to the Cheer Bomb Podcast with your hosts, Marcus and Marisol.
We are strong, powerful, disciplined. We are cheerleaders.
Hey guys, this is Sean, the producer guy. Let me introduce you to one of our great sponsors, Spirit Box, the subscription gift box for cheer girls and cheer boys who love to show their spirit. Each month, your spirited athlete will enjoy a variety of items aimed at their love for cheer. Each Spirit Box may have a themed bow or hair embellishment and items that are trendy and useful for the athletes. Each month is different. We make sure to only deliver quality products, not those discount store items or those unsafe items for kids. Our community is what makes us different, and we value our ambassadors and their families. Visit us today at www.myspiritbox.net. Cheer Bomb listeners, enjoy a discount of 15% off of your first order with using code CHEERBOMB. Again, the code is CHEERBOMB. Order today to sign up for your Summer Worlds theme box for April. Again, check out Spirit Box at myspiritbox.net. And now, let's join Marcus and Marisol.
Hey, Marcus.
Hello again, Marisol.
Hello. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
We're recording on a Tuesday today.
Yes. In the gym.
In the gym. I like recording here. I feel, though, that I need to not only thank Billy and Allison,
yeah,
the owners, but like shell out a couple dollars or something for the use of electricity.
Thank you, Billy and Allison.
Thank you. Yes, and we are doing something a little different today.
Yes.
We've had great success with our podcast.
So thank you, everybody.
And last week, Aaron was fantastic. Should I tell them about the stats? Okay, because on Aaron's podcast, I had felt a little bit like I didn't defend women cheerleaders as well as I maybe should have. That, you know, men had more star power than women cheerleaders. And so Friday, when we posted, I didn't pay for publicity this week, and I wanted to kind of see how things fell naturally. And so Friday, the numbers weren't, you know, after Bethany last week, they shot up. So I was like, star power. But then they, Saturday, Sunday, Monday came right back up. So thank you.
That was a good interview.
It was a good interview. It was fun.
I think
a lot of people had a lot of fun talking about the.
And congratulations to Aaron for getting fourth place at UCA. I love that competition. That's a huge competition. So a huge congratulations.
That was at Disney, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was another one that was, I feel like, or at least based on my Instagram, big over in the Pacific. The Aloha one, or maybe not. Maybe some of the just people I follow were there. I don't know. But this week, we have someone with us.
Yes.
Doing the podcast, which is new for us.
Yes. So we would like to introduce our guest host.
Yes.
We actually cheered together at Wilmington. Then he went to Greenville and started choreographing and coaching in Greenville. And he is now a previous coach. He is now a judge and choreographer. So we'd like to introduce TJ Smith. How you doing, TJ?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Literally living the
dream. This is my first podcast.
Welcome.
Yeah. So I do a little bit of everything, I guess, right?
I told you, I know I said it's just going to turn into a conversation. We're going to do it a little differently. He's going to be with us throughout the whole podcast. So it's not going to be a throw to an interview at the end. The whole podcast will be TJ.
Great.
So he's going to join us in the Dear Marcus and Marisol advice section. And but we're going to have a conversation. But I wanted to start with a TJ story. So here's a story. Have you ever realized how... Or I don't know if people have realized it, but someone affects someone and they have no clue. That happened with TJ, and he probably has you have absolutely no idea.
I'm so scared.
No, it's a good story. It's a good story.
Or maybe.
No, it's a good story. I'm thinking about Lola. So Lola, my daughter, is, you know her. You've done some choreography with her. I'm going to give the backstory so he understands. So she has... was diagnosed with several letters after her name of, you know, this and that and mm-hmm. dyslexia and ADHD and this and that. And 3 years ago when she first met you, she was kind of in the shame spiral. She was really trying to keep it a secret that she had any kind of learning issues. So she joined cheerleading and she started naming, she started calling herself Victoria. And she kind of made up this whole, not made up, that sounds, I she's going to be so mad at me. But I wrote a book about it, basically. It's coming out soon. And the whole book is about her coming to terms and being proud of who she is. And that moment was brought to light to me when she came in, but she came into the car. And the first time she ever met you, you must have made some announcement that you had ADHD or something, like everyone has ADHD or something that just minimized it for her, that it was not. And she came in the car and she was like, oh my God. And she was so, and it was like this huge turning point, you know, where she said, even though I had said it, her dad had said it, her teachers had said it, she still had felt shame. And then when she thought you were like the coolest thing since sliced bread. So, and just like, oh, she was just like, I had asked your sister, who your niece is on my daughter's team, to try to get privates one Christmas for her. That's how much she was like. So isn't that nice? Like when we've all done it, we mm-hmm. might not know. But we've all kind of inspired someone.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, that's a sweet story.
Yeah.
I don't think I have ADHD, but I probably do. I think I probably told her the most creative people probably do have that. I think that's what makes our brains go wild. And you're creative. I mean, you're more creative, I feel like. So.
Well, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm just a mom. But after so many readings and studyings and doctors, I kind of feel that people with ADHD, which are creative people who just maybe school and sitting still for a period of time may be challenging. I know there's a big spectrum, right. And I don't want to offend anyone who is highly affected by the impact of ADHD. I just feel in my life, what I've seen is she's just has this amazing energy. And if I could bottle that, I would be very happy with my life. Like I would be flying all over the place. Maybe you do have ADHD.
Maybe. I mean, I probably do. God, I wish I would have known that when I was younger, but that's a really sweet story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. There's something about that though. When I'm working with kids, I feel like, I don't know if I just have this weird, like I can meet a kid in 5 minutes. I feel like I can understand that kid, some better than others, but for me, I feel like that's my job. I need to make sure that I can interact with that kid, you know, or adult, but before I work with them, because every kid out there is completely different. And, you know, there's one way that I can coach or choreograph or, you know, between everybody, I need to make sure. And there's one way I can yell at this kid or talk to that kid. And there's one way where, you know, a kid's just not going to respond well to me. So I need to, you know, use better tactics, I guess you could say. But I love that story. That makes me really happy. Oh. Sometimes I feel like I'm just mean. No, I'm not mean. But
no, not at all.
Just tonight.
So TJ, you've been traveling, homie.
Oh man. I have. I just got back in today.
Yes.
I'm home for 3 days. I just got back from Connecticut. Yeah. And then I go to Syracuse this weekend. So, yeah, I'm everywhere.
So, TJ is a choreographer, and he goes, like, literally all over the place. Mm. Tell us about your summer last summer.
Oh, man. This past summer? Oh, God. Where does it even... I don't know where it starts, because when I go to Australia, their summers are winter. So it's kind of like I'm always on summer or in summer. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, I guess last summer, it always starts in June. I have the month off of pretty much all of May. Well, half of May, because I'm at Worlds in April and then I'm at both summits pretty much. And then from there, I have about 2 weeks off. And then in April, Or sorry, in June it starts camps again. I work with a company called Action Spirit. Do you want me just kind of go throughout like the whole summer? Okay,
we're gonna be your life hours. Literally sounds like a dream, and that's what okay. I wanted to share. I want a life where my life is all summer.
Yeah,
and traveling to Australia and have a month off.
I know. Okay, yeah. So it starts in June, and I work for this company called Action Spirit. Ray Jasper and Steve Blanger, they own this company. And there's about 44 of us that travel, all across the United States. And there's a select few of us that then also get to go to some pretty awesome countries. We get to go to Canada and Australia. I believe they've also been to South America before. I've been to Ireland. I've been to so many places, but yeah, so it starts in June, and, we work with, you know, lots of programs throughout the entire, United States. And then, you know, it kind of just goes all the way until September, I think it is. And then that's when we'll end our summer tour in Maui, Hawaii.
Sorry, what a rough life.
Yeah. So that's like kind of like our big, we get selected and, you know, the best of the best get to go to Hawaii, and, it's always a blast. But you know, every major city is great. I mean, we get to go to, you know, different parts. We get to go to San Antonio to work with Stars Vipers. We get to go to Boston, work with ECE. They're always great. Cheer for us out in San Diego. So we're just kind of everywhere. And then, yeah, it ends in Hawaii.
One of the reasons I was excited to have you on the podcast was, I'm fascinated with, we constantly talk about how cheerleading's just exploding at the seams, the industry mm-hmm. as a whole. It's when it goes mainstream, when it hits that, how do you pronounce that? Zeitgeist? I don't know. When people know what it is, it's more than pom-poms and really know it's more than that ESPN thing. Poof. It's going to, did I say poof?
Yeah.
Poof. Okay. Boom.
Explodes.
It explodes. Yeah. And I see so many opportunities for people to live a life other than, I don't want to live their dream. If they have a passion in cheerleading, maybe they won't be a cheerleader forever. Maybe they won't be a coach, and maybe they won't be a gym owner. There's a lot of opportunities out there for people to live the life that they want to live. And you, I think, kind of personify that.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's great to hear. I mean, my mom probably is still mad at me, but yeah, I went to college. I did not finish at ECU. When I was in college, I was my senior year, I kind of just picked up coaching at EC Cats up in Greenville. I don't think they're around anymore, but I started there, and I became a coach and then a choreographer, and I was there for, oh God, a while. And then from there, I got a phone call. My best friend, Brendan, he is now in San Diego, but he asked me to move to Tampa, Florida, and I became a gym director. So there is a lot to do after college. I definitely say go to college. But yeah, this industry is massive. I mean, there's so much to do. I mean, it's every day it's changing, every second really. And there really is a lot of stuff to do, but definitely go to college, get a degree. I'm going to condone that for sure. But yeah, and then I moved to Tampa, Florida, and became a gym director for about 7 years at Florida Wildcats, which is now Brandon All-Stars.
But do you know what? We didn't ask him how he started. Maybe because we know of him. So how did you start? How did I start?
Oh my God, how funny. This is a great story. I was getting off the bus, I think, in my sophomore, junior year of high school. And it had to have been like freshman or, you know, I didn't ride the bus after freshman year. So anyway, this one girl, her name is Monique. I don't even know where she is anymore. You remember Monique?
She's in California.
Is she?
No, or Virginia.
I know she did like Air
with
Force.
With a baby.
Oh, okay, yeah. She's a baby. So we got off the bus. I think I rode the bus like one time. yeah, I know. My mom took me every day. But as it should be. No, I'm kidding. But so yeah, she got off the bus with me, and she was like, hey, you should come to Open Gym. And I was like, what is Open Gym? And I went on a Friday at Wilmington All-Stars, and I remember Billy, I was like, can you do a back handspring? I'm like, I think so. And tuck. And I was like, I think so. So I did it because I was a gymnast. But that was about it. And then I remember, you know, all the Wilmington boys were trying to teach me how to do a standing full. And never got that, but you know, they all had the standing doubles. They were like street tumblers, and here I am coming in just anyway. Long story short, I started at Wilmington All-Stars, and from there I went up to Raleigh. I drove up there for a little bit. And then once I started doing that and realized that college was more important, I decided to become a college cheerleader at East Carolina University. And that's whenever the story, I guess, picks up when I started working at EC Cats. And yeah, and then ever since then, I've been doing these long tours, I guess you could say. Oh yeah. Well, then I did move to Tampa, Florida. So I was a gym director down there, and I had about 175 to 200 athletes and like 20 staff members that I took care of. And, you know, I kind of fell out of love with it, I guess you could say, because I did have the opportunity and I knew it was in the back of my head that I could travel and become just a choreographer. And so I decided to take that leap of faith and I did it. And, you know, definitely some bumps along the way, but when I'm with a lot of my friends, my best friends actually. And, like I said, you know, now I work with Action Spirit, with 44 staff members. I have my own company that I do choreography for. I'm also a head building judge for Varsity. I'm just everywhere. So I try and do it all. But yeah, there is a lot to do in all-star cheerleading or cheerleading in general. So yeah, that's a little backstory about me.
Dang. I don't even know. Are literally living my dream.
Oh, I guess.
Literally.
I guess.
I'm trying to make it happen for you, Marcus. I'm trying as quickly as I can. I think there's something, a couple of things that you said that I think are important. One, you said you took the leap of faith. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I always get those confused, but that's a wonderful thing about what you all do out there, the tumbling and the flying and the everything. But to take that for yourself, to take that gamble and your bet for yourself, do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Don't let the fear
of a 9-to-5 coming. Yeah.
It's for, I'm not trying, you know, for anyone who didn't go to college or anyone who does have a 9-to-5 job, as long as you're living your life, what you, you know, and you're as happy as you can be, that's what I want for everyone. But I love when I hear someone who's doing it a different way, like kind of like me, like, you know, just outside the corners. I love that because I feel I live my life, the best version of my life that way, you know, outside right. the corners of that. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, that is, you know, it's definitely played in my mind a couple of times, you know, society, you know, is a, you wake up, you work at 9, you get off at 5, or, you know, whether you're a nurse, you go in at 7, get off at 7. I mean, there's all these things that we kind of grow up and, you know, we want to be, or we want to do, or that's how it's supposed to be done. And by all means, I would love to not live out of a suitcase, and I would love to go to the gym at 5:30 or have dinner at 7 and like a normal person would, I guess. But,
and you might know, have that 10
maybe,
years from it. You
yeah,
don't know.
Maybe.
You know, and I did the 9-to-5 for most of my life. It really, like you said, I felt for me personally, I was conditioned, you know, to do the steps, and I did the steps and I did everything I was supposed to do. And then boom, when my life kind of erupted in a divorce, I was like, okay, that didn't work. So I'm going to now do this the next half the way I want to do it. And I just love that. You know, I love doing that.
Yeah.
And I think you're doing so awesome at it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. So we are going to do some Dear Marcus and Marisol's, and we're going to do a few of them, not just one. We're going to do a little, because we've gotten a few, and I feel like I want to answer some people. I don't want to let them down. So you want to read, and then all three of us can discuss these topics?
Heck yes. Let's start with this one. This one is subject line cheer. How to be flexible when fat and do a split. Is it possible to get a split in a week? Signed, Love Diva.
All right, I'm going to let you two talk about the stretching and the flexibility in a second, but I'm going to address the fat part and then I'll let it go.
Okay.
You could, does she have a name? Love Diva. Okay, Diva. Well, you know, the fact that you picked the name Diva makes me feel like this lecture I'm about to throw on you might not be necessary, but I don't want anyone out there ever to speak about them. Whatever your inner dialogue is really important. So I'm not saying that if you're overweight, to pretend you're skinny. What I'm saying is however you talk to yourself should be the baseline of kindness and love. And so when I hear something like that, especially from a girl, a woman, I get a little distraught because we should love ourselves. Mm-hmm. So maybe she just meant it in a non-judgy way of herself, but that's all I had to say about that, dear Marcus and Marisol.
No, absolutely.
Okay, I'll leave it to you too.
Okay, flexibility. I do think it is possible to get a split in a week if, absolutely, if y'all can see that face Marisol just gave me. I guess she's been trying for a little bit and hasn't gotten there.
I cannot do that, but I'm also 30 years old. I can barely touch my toes, but I'm sure, hopefully she's young.
TJ.
She probably can do it.
I do think it is possible. There is a girl that is at our gym that over the 4th of July break at our gym, we take like a whole week off for the 4th of July. And she came back and said, Coach Marcus, I stretch every single day. And she got a straight like scorpion, like lifting her right leg. Like I think that is insane. She's also like, she is really flexible. But she did not have a straight leg scorpion on that leg before. So her mom told me, her mom sent me pictures, and she was stretching every single day. So I do believe it is possible. If you are really about it and you really want it, you have to go for it. You got to want it to win it, right?
Yeah, I agree. I will say, you know, just talking about, I guess, the whole, fat issue, listen, I've worked with a lot of athletes, and that whole word doesn't even be put in there, because if you put your mind to it, anything can be done. I mean, I've seen girls that, let's just face it, I'll be honest, that you think that wouldn't be able to tumble. And these girls are throwing doubles and, you know, layouts and tucks. And so anything you put your mind to, you can do it. Unless if you're 30 years old, I still cannot touch my toes. So, but I've also retired from cheerleading. I just tell people what to do.
I'm not going to say my age anymore. I went back and listened to our podcast, and I said my age in every freaking podcast. I'm like, why am I doing that? Stop it. But
you'll never know my age.
And I don't cheer, but I used to dance, and Lola's flexibility, I'm sure, was inherited from me. And now I do yoga, and I could do a split in a 105-degree hot yoga class, but then I couldn't walk for like 3 days.
You don't need to walk. You just need to do a split.
So I'm just going to be the word of caution. They're the coaches. They're the athletes, so they know better. But don't hurt yourself. So
please stretch properly.
Yes.
And don't just go down into a split.
I'm sure there's probably someone out there that has YouTube videos.
YouTube, I'm a YouTube junkie. Let's mm-hmm. just be, I watch it every day. Just, you can YouTube anything. And yes, there are many great stretching technique videos out there. So use YouTube.
I am working on like tutorial videos for the Cheerinfinity app. So
exciting.
Please get ready for it for my cheerleaders and anyone that's listening. I'm getting ready, so get ready for, please download the Cheerinfinity app and you will have it.
I've heard you're the stretching coach, like you're the go-to guy to get the flexibility.
I guess I am. I've gotten a lot of heel stretches in my day.
I know how old you are, and you actually did the toe touch like 2 months ago. You were the role model for our emojis.
My leg was not bent, but that was my toe touch. Those were even my shorts.
Yes, it is.
So, yes, that is my toe touch, and I pointed my toes. Do you know how hard it is to do that in a living room? I guess all of y'all tumble in your house. So,
all right, what's our next question?
This one is subject line, judges suck. How do judges sleep at night? Okay, here we go.
Oh my gosh. Shoot. Does this have a name?
No,
address? Let me get their address. No, I'm kidding. No. That's a great question. Well, okay, yeah, it is a question.
Yeah.
How do judges sleep? I sleep great at night, but I also, you know, travel a lot. So sometimes I just get, yeah. Anyway, do you want to start with this or do you want me to?
I just want to say, just keep in mind, as cheerleaders, you have a job to do on the floor. As judges, it is their job to tell you how you did, to judge.
Well, I'm going to say, as a layman, I don't know what judges do. Like, unless someone falls, and better chance if it's my daughter, will I notice something going wrong? So I don't know how judges do it. I don't know how you sit there. I was just texting with Jimbo, and he was somewhere this weekend.
I was just with him.
Oh, okay.
I just listened to his podcast on the way here.
And yeah. He was telling me, were you judging at the same company?
Yeah, I was in Connecticut with him.
Okay,
yeah.
So however many hours they mm-hmm. were, and I all, because I'd never thought of the perspective of a judge. I love cheerleading. Thank you for supporting the podcast. I would stab myself in the ear if I had to sit there
yeah.
all day. Mm-hmm. So I'm so sorry. I love cheerleading. But how, that's a totally different, you got to love cheerleading. There's one thing to love cheerleading and to sit there as a spectator and watch it and see the excitement. But as a judge, what's that like? I mean, tell us about the first time you judged.
What first time I judged? Oh my God. Well, first, let me say this. I will say, since being a coach or being an athlete, then a coach, then a gym director and a choreographer, and now a judge, I feel like, you know, it is my job. I feel like I know what the athletes, you know, they want a good answer. They want to know what, you know, the coaches want to know, the athletes want to know. And of course, the parents are also probably like, well, let's face it. A lot of parents have no idea. They just assume.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I went to do research. I went online trying to understand.
Oh, yeah.
There's no reason. If someone wants an idea, I don't have any more time in my life, but if someone wants an idea, put together some information for the layman parent, because I don't even understand judging.
Well, I like when parents don't know, because then the more they know, the crazier I feel like sometimes they get. But I'm just being honest. You can.
We've had the discussion on crazy moms already.
Oh, okay. God, I should have been a part of that. No, I'm kidding. No, that's why.
There's many versions of it. We only touched the
No, that's
first
why
one.
I don't coach anymore, because I can't. I came up here today and I was like, hey, crazy moms. And I walked back out and they all laughed. I'm joking.
I stuck in here afterwards.
Yeah.
I love them. But I can't do 4 hours. I don't have to.
No, go to the mall. Go shopping.
I live 15 minutes. I know some other people can't, and I get that. I live 15 minutes and I have two other kids, and sitting here for four, she's on two teams, to sit here for 4 hours to.
Yeah, I imagine 16 hours on the judge's stand.
Oh my God. So tell us the first time you judge. Well, first, can you give us a backstory? Yeah. What's judge? Like, what
okay,
do you
do? Okay, so what is judge? Well, one, we go through, we go through a course. I don't know what I can give out, but anyway, yeah, so I'm just going to do it. We go through a course, we go through training, obviously. There are some people that, I'll be honest, I don't think have ever really done cheerleading, but they still go through a course. They still know, you know, what needs to be done. So it's not just like people just get thrown on the stand and just be like, oh, I'm not a cheerleader at all. I'm just judging. But, you know, we go through a course, we take tests, and then, you know, we kind of just send in our availability and we get sent to, you know, all across the country. And when we're sitting there, we get put on events, and then, you know, we get assigned to different panels. Those panels consist of two building judges, two tumbling judges, one overall, and two safety and two deductions.
So each of you get broken into one of these.
So that's one panel, correct. So, and then, you know, then it consists of, I'm a building judge. So I'm a scripter, which means there's a huge, just tons of sheets of paper, and it's all like, you know, categorized. And I'm scripting out everything that the athletes and the team is doing as far as, you know, stunts and pyramid.
So you're like writing out the music.
I'm writing out everything. So if they do like a straight up lib, you know, I write, you know, whatever, I just write a lib or extended lib. So from that, I'm scripting out everything. Then the person on the computer is typing out the comments. You know, they're also looking at, we're all both looking at technique. But mainly myself, I'm looking at the difficulty. I'm writing down exactly what they're doing so we can put them in the range for difficulty. Then I look at my partner after they're done. We have about 3 minutes to do our comments and to come out with the scores. Sometimes at big nationals, there's three panels. So we have about a 6 minute interval, which we love those because that means we can kind of relax a little bit. But if not, we have about 3 minutes and we have to come up with those scores that fast. She's typing out the comments, and then we kind of collaborate and we come up with the scores between the comments for technique and then also my difficulty scripting. So that's pretty much how we do it for all of you parents out there that want to know.
I had no idea. First of all, I felt like I was in calculus class and didn't understand all of it. Kind of just went right over my head. But what here's what I did feel that I understood. A, that's an insane number of amount of energy that you as a judge have to, like, the focus on the stage for that long, getting the information on paper correctly, and then all day long for hours.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it is long. And every time after, like, the Sunday, if it's a 2-day event, I only really judge 2-day events. But after that second day, you're kind of just like, whew, did I really just judge that long? And you do, your eyes are red, and I'm not going to deny, like, it's a toll on your body. I mean, these convention centers, the air is completely dry, you know, so it's just like drying out your skin. I know this sounds
I agree.
But it's, you know, imagine sitting there just for 2.5 minutes to watch your kid. We're sitting there team after team after team, and it is a toll on your body. A lot of people don't think.
And mentally, I would think, and energetically, yeah. Just because you're kind of like have to be hyper focused, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, we do get some breaks. I mean, you know, it just depends on, you know, sometimes we'll get like an hour and a half and then we'll come back, and or sometimes we'll even have to eat on the stand. So we can't really have our phones.
You never think of that. I never, as a layman, never thought of the intensity that the judges have to go through. I did imagine that, because I feel like as a parent, we call it the Monday hangover after a weekend, like the cheerleading hangover. I would imagine it's different. Judging cheerleading hangover is a bit different than going to see your daughter compete.
I mean, it's definitely a toll on your body. That's, I mean, mentally, not so much physically, but just mentally. And it's just, I guess, draining. You know, you're constantly looking and you're constantly, you know, playing video playback, and, you know, you're trying to come up with the correct score. And I mean, that's your job. And that's kind of goes back to, you know, this question, how do judges sleep at night? I personally take judging seriously. I mean, we all do, but I take it seriously because I want the coaches to know what they can do to get into a higher range or to get into this score or get that score. And also, you know, I'm not on the computer, but I'm also kind of relaying, we're talking back and forth, you know, make sure they're pointing their toes in their baskets, you know, keep the feet or keep the toes underneath their hips. And, you know, we're writing that, or she's typing that. So I want to get it right, because I don't want someone to come back and say, oh, this panel of judges, they don't know what they're doing. Yeah. And it's tough because I don't think a lot of people understand every competition is different. So what I mean by that is, there's a panel of judges, but it's not like we go to the next competition. It's a different panel of judges. Mm-hmm. And there's also sometimes 4 panels at a big competition, at a 2-day competition. It's normally about 4 panels. With that being said, there's, you know, panel A, B, C, D, and then we'll rotate. So one team will go, and then the next panel judges the next team. And then it comes back to us. Or if it's a 3 panel, it goes A, B, C, then back to A. So with that, it's frustrating because some people are like, well, this panel is judging harder than this one. And that's what I hate when it comes to judging. Because
there's like a little bit of subjectivity.
It's, you know, it's very subjective, and it always will be until we come up with a...
Well, is it, because I also feel there's an artistic element to it. Sort of like skating is in the Olympics.
We call it creativity.
Yeah, the costume, the music choice, the facial. I think, like, I get... taken away sometimes by a performance. I don't know what the tumbling is. I don't know what the...
Yeah, don't put me down for tumbling. I hate tumbling. No, I do. No, because you're up there counting. So you're counting all the skills over and over and over. And they say it's easy. I can't do it.
So my only experience with judging is very limited. And it's been where our teams may have lost by a nano degree. I don't
like
even,
a tenth of a point.
Yeah. A little itsy bitsy. And it's basically... You know, it was to the judges. And I never really personally got upset by it. I never thought, you know, there was some big conspiracy to it. I just kind of was like, you know, it is what it is. You know,
No, I mean, it's, and just so everyone that's out there, I mean, you get judged on difficulty and then technique. So there's also the overall judge that does creativity, that does the dance, the overall performance, the routine composition, you know, the overall, the whole thing. But a lot of people don't realize... There, you know, there's tons of scores that go into it that get your overall score. So technique is a big thing. And that's what we're kind of, this year has been really, really kind of going back to that, like, not, I guess, old school look, but like the very just, we're worried about technique this year. Difficulty.
Which is good, because what I see these girls doing, I don't, or boys too, we've been talking about this. What are they going to be doing in 3-4 years from now? So,
oh, I'm amazed what they're doing now. I mean, some of the routines that I come up with for level 5, like I was just in San Antonio at Stars Vipers, and I'm just like, I can't even, I wouldn't even be able to do what these kids are doing. If the coach was like, hey, TJ, come do this, I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Like, you know, so it's, yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, I mean, I hope I answered that question. I'm sorry if you feel like we're terrible people. And we are. I mean, we're terrible people, but that is our job. We have to, you know, come up with the scores. And, you know, unfortunately, it's the sport that we're in. It's a subjective judging sport.
I'm not going to lie. I used to want to be a judge until then.
Oh, so sorry.
No, I honestly, I think it would be awesome to like watch other people's like works of art, like being like performed like on a stage, and just like 16 hours of it. I just feel like, and we talked about this. I know you hate cheerleading music. I love cheerleading.
You kind of get numb to it though when you're on the stand, but you do remember. It's so weird when you judge a day one and then day two, you remember everything about that team. Like, I'm not even, we were like, oh, here's that team again, or here's that girl in the back prep, like shaking her hair back and like for 2A counts. Like, we remember it, and we remember the uniforms, remember all of it. Not to talk bad,
it's the reality.
It's so weird, because you're like, how many, even though we've judged 120 teams or 200 however many it is, it's a lot.
I wonder if it has to do just with the, I'm not going to use the right terminology, but between the imprinting of the music, the movement, and the hyper focus that you guys have to have, because otherwise I don't even know how many times I've seen Lola's routines.
No, I guess that's it. I mean, it has, and back to your, you know, your comment, Marcus, is it really has opened my eyes. I mean, it's made me a better choreographer, because I know what I, as a judge, a busy routine is sometimes hard to read. It's sometimes very hard to like be like, what did they just do? Like, you don't ever want to make the judges just have to like keep rewinding a video over and over and over. We want to see creativity, but we also don't want to be like, what? Like a mush routine. And that's really opened my eyes as a choreographer to like keep it, you know, still creative, but also kind of like make sure the judges can see what you're choreographing and what you're putting on the floor. So yeah, it's opened my eyes to a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So,
and I've come to appreciate cheer music. I just can't do it for how many hours? I couldn't.
Oh yeah.
I couldn't do that.
I know.
I'm sorry. I guess not 16 hours, but
I used to like listen to music like when I was like in my car when I was in high school, like cheer music, like Georgia All Stars.
Oh yeah.
Like Alabama or Ace of Alabama. Oh my God. Oh, so old school. I got to stop. But
no.
I used to listen to that all the time.
We are literally.
I would like Maryland Twisters. I would like memorize every lyric. Brennan Matthews, if you're listening, you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, so I would memorize all the lyrics, but now I'm just like, turn it off.
Question. Do you still know those routines?
I still know, like, yeah, I mean, I still know the routines. I wouldn't, yeah. Oh, for sure. I don't know my routines, though. Isn't that weird? So anyway.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember.
I remember all of my routines. I remember random dances.
I don't. I think it's because I've choreographed so many now. It's all mush, but.
Well, I think we answered her question. And yeah. I would imagine, I'm making an assumption here, that she probably, her team didn't get the score that she thought she deserved. You know what?
Send me that video.
I'm going to say, have you ever watched that MMA? I'm not a big MMA person, but I dated someone once who was into it, and we watched it. And the owner, I think his name is the bald guy. I don't know his name. Dana something. Anyway, he says, never leave it to the judge's table. Like, when a match gets called by a judge. And that rang true to me. Like, be that good that there's no question. Like, so that's my non-cheerleading advice. Okay, what's the next question?
Okay, this one is No Bid Monday. We did not get a bid. Oh, this is my team's best chance at getting a bid. I've been cheerleading for 9 years. I've never been on a winning team. I'm thinking of not competing next season. I love cheerleading. I love tumbling, and I love my gym. But we are never going to Summit. My parents work hard, and I just don't know what the point of doing all of this if I can't even imagine my gym ever getting a bid.
Okay, I just have one thing to say.
Please.
First off, I just want to talk about the Summit, okay? Listen, you should not base your cheerleading career, you're an athlete, around Summit. I mean, Summit is, you know, an experience that I do hope everybody gets to experience it, but it's, you know, it's not the end of the world. Summit is another competition at Disney World. I mean, I want to say that I don't like when kids always, you know, oh, we didn't get a bid, or we didn't get to go to Worlds, or we didn't get to go here. I mean, I hope one day you do. I don't think it should be the end of the world, because it breaks my heart when kids quit this sport because they don't get to go to this silly competition.
Well, the thing statistically is the majority of the cheerleaders are not going to make it to those three, you know, big name competitions. And when I read that, I had the same reaction, which was sadness, because there's so much more to this sport than the end all. I understand some people chasing it. I get it. I get those top 1% world athletes that need that world ring. That's a different conversation. But for the medium cheerleader who's not going to make it to Summit, what you're still getting is, you know, not to be cheesy, strength, power, and discipline. This is something that you're not going to be a professional cheerleader, right? But you will get something from all those practices.
Yeah, I mean, you're working together with other athletes, other kids. You're learning
to deal with coaches, being judged, family, you know, trips, the dynamics. It's an experience. It's a whole journey. And I think, like TJ said, don't all put it to Summit. Don't put it to that one experience. Yes, it's great.
I mean, I'll put myself in their shoes. I mean, I have never won NCAA. I've never actually even competed at NCAA Dallas. I work with, like I said earlier, I work with 44 incredibly talented staff members with Action Spirit. And, you know, there's probably half of them have won Worlds multiple times. You know, EC Bombshells that I work with, they just won Worlds. They're probably going to win Worlds again. They're amazing. They just won NCAA. You know, I'm giving them hugs. I'm living vicariously through them, even though I get to work with them. But I've never won Worlds. You know, I that stuff doesn't really, it never really bothered me, I guess. And I don't think it should, because, you know, it's not the end of the world. I mean, it really isn't. I've made so many strong relationships with people that have won those titles. And, you know, my best friend has won Worlds. He won the very first Worlds with Miami Elite. Yeah, old school. Was that like 2000? He's going to kill me. 2004 or something.
Oh my God.
It was the very first one.
I remember that routine.
He has like a windbreaker jacket. It's not even a Worlds ring, but now he has like three other Worlds rings, and he's won NCAA back-to-back. You know, I love him, but I don't have any of that, which is totally fine. And here I am today, you know, doing this wonderful podcast with you guys.
It.
Yeah, I get no. But anyway, so no, it should not be based about Summit. I really, really, don't base your cheerleading career about Summit.
I'm not going to lie. I used to be that girl. No, absolutely. And Darnell, I'm still waiting on my Dallas jacket. But I used to be that girl until I like fully understood that. I feel like until I like became a coach, that it's not about the titles, it's not about the trophies, it's not about the banners or the rings. It's about the experience. And I've gained like my best friends, like to this day, from when I was in like seventh grade and started, like they're still like my best friends. So like it's all about the experience.
Yeah, I mean, if Lola were here, she would tell you, you know, she just had her birthday. Remember, she had a birthday. And so we went to her school and did the cookie cake thing. And I was watching her, and her body language was like shrunken, and she was kind of like hiding, and she wasn't in her full, she's not who she, to tell the full story correctly. Then we had a cookie cake here at the gym, same day, her birthday. Totally different experience. There's Lola, shoulders back, confident, in her happy place.
Really?
If she never gets a world ring, what cheerleading has offered her is so much greater than...
So much more.
So, do they have a name?
No.
Okay.
No Bid Monday.
No Bid Monday. That's a good name. No Bid Monday. You have written something that many other cheerleaders have experienced and will experience. And that's partly, you know, one of the reasons we wanted to do the podcast was to have a place where we can all be and have a community where we can still all love the heck out of the experience, even if we're not all world-class, you know, champions. So, and as far as quitting, that's a personal choice between you and your parents and your coaches. If you love cheerleading and if your parents are supportive of it, then I would really hope you reconsider. I hope you stick around. So,
all right. The next question, what's the point? Oh my goodness. All right. So here's the question. I listened to your podcast with Aaron and I do not get my cheerleading paid for and I can tumble with the best of them. There are no gyms around and my parents shell out a lot of money so I can be a cheerleader. We think I'll get a college scholarship, but now that I am 15, I just don't see the point of my parents struggling to pay, especially if gyms don't charge boys. I sent the link to my coach and he said, not here. Good luck.
So I guess for those who may have not listened to the Aaron interview, he mentioned in his interview, we were talking about the differences between male and female cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. Give us a perspective. And something he mentioned was that, you know, they don't pay for mm-hmm. their cheerleading. And we didn't correct, you know, he doesn't pay. Or maybe it shouldn't have made a blanket statement, but maybe it was a surprise to people who didn't realize that might. I know when I danced ballet, the boys were, you know, the unicorns. They didn't pay. So I know that's probably a practice I would assume some gyms do and some gyms don't. I don't know, but I'll let you two as male cheerleaders tackle this one.
Yeah, I did not pay for cheerleading. I did whenever I went to Worlds with, I think, Brandon All-Stars. It was my last year I cheered. But that was just the world's fee. But, you know, but that I'm also 30. So back in the day, we were trying to get boys in. So I'm just, let's be honest. I mean, that's when they were, you know.
Yeah,
we were,
unicorns.
Exactly. They were trying to put us in there to, you know, get this sport, you know, more, I guess, surrounded to guys. So I did not pay. But I guess just looking at the question, I mean,
I don't know where you are geographically.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I mean, because I mean, I used to drive 3 hours to cheer. I used to, you know, drive some other people to cheerleading, which are also very successful now. I love them so much. But it was great. I mean, like I did that drive, and you know, I don't regret it. But I don't know where you are. You know, in this country or world, really, but. I just say keep doing it. I mean, am I getting that question?
I don't know anything about this, so I'm just asking, would someone sending a videotape, like getting the local gyms around, saying the summer tumbling skills?
Oh, I mean, trust me, listen, I know many of gyms out there that I don't use Twitter. I don't know how to use Twitter. I have one. I don't even know what it's called, so don't follow me. But you know, there are many of programs out there that will actually like they're looking for guys and, you know, or just contact them. And yeah, I mean, if your parents are dishing out this much money, there's gyms out there that actually put you up in like someone else's home or, you know, with a family. Yeah. And I mean, it's that if you're that serious, but I don't know if.
And he has pretty strong language there. He's that good.
Yeah.
So if you're that like.
If you're that good, then, you know, reach out to some programs. And I know one said not here, good luck, but.
Who knows? That person could not, you know, could maybe know your situation and be like, you're not driving 3 hours.
I know people that are from Australia that have cheered out in California. I know a girl that I actually worked with this past April. It's been a year ago. I worked with a girl in New Zealand. She's actually now living in Australia just for World season, and she's competing at World. So, you know, she's living with a family. So, you know, if you're that serious your parents are up to it.
We had Nicole on the podcast, and she mentioned she stayed with Gabby Butler, right? And you know, I know when Kennedy was on, she traveled what, an hour and a half mm-hmm. in the car. I mean, it's not an uncommon theme that I hear that, you know, cheerleaders are putting in the mileage and the effort to be at the gym they want to be at.
And see, and that's the other thing though. I also don't want to, you know, condone just like leaving your gym. I mean, if you're happy at your gym and you're satisfied and everything's going great, I mean, don't drive 3 hours like I did. I mean, it was crazy. But I mean, I look back at it now. I guess it does a little crazy, right?
It was
3 hours.
A good time.
Oh my Lord. But anyway, yeah.
So I totally read this as an angry female cheerleader.
Oh yeah? No, I got
like
a dude.
Someone like a Bethany Thompson.
I got a dude, right? Yeah. Yeah.
But I can see why.
But maybe not. I mean, whatever. Yeah.
Why they'd be so upset about it.
It definitely, you want me to read the whole thing? I mean, it definitely says, struggling to pay, especially if gyms don't charge boys. Yeah, it's definitely a dude. But good job, Marcus.
You read that wrong.
Yeah. I mean, well, maybe. No,
that's how I read it. Because why would she be upset? I would think numbers wise that makes sense. Like I don't think anyone would be offended, you know, looking at the ratio. I would think a boy who had talents would be.
I see what you're saying. Well, I do want to tackle this question about the whole college scholarship. You know, if you're going for that, by all means do that. I mean, if you can get a scholarship anyway in college, do it. I mean, especially if cheerleading is your passion, do whatever it takes, you know, even if it takes you just doing like tumbling lessons or whatever and kind of not even paying for cheerleading, just kind of staying in the sport somehow and just kind of cheer for college. I mean, God,
yeah, 15,
I wish.
So he's got maybe 2-3 years. Yeah. That's a great idea. If you don't want to do the all-star cheerleading thing.
Yeah, if money's an issue.
It is expensive. It's expensive.
Yeah, my sister was asking me for like $20 to pay for whatever. And I was like, I don't pay for cheerleading. I mean, only because.
No, I get it. Trust me.
I'm being honest. I mean, people pay me for cheerleading. I don't pay for cheerleading. That's a funny joke.
Yeah, no.
I pay I pay my dues.
I could see their frustration by that. It might not be common practice. I think as the sport gets more popular, it's less of a common practice probably that boys get it for free. But again, you know, it's supply and demand. That's how the world runs. So there you go. So thank you for doing the Dear Marcus and...
Yes, hopefully we're all caught up.
We may have some more. But before we let TJ go, I wanted to then throw us into the pod.
Rapid fire.
Rapid fire. I did want to mention our Spotlight interview from last week. Did you want to talk a little bit about it with Baystone?
Baystone, yes. I don't have the email right in front of me, but we got, it really touched me. We got an email saying how brave he was and how inspirational he is for boys like us. And,
it was sweet. He shared it on his Insta story. I shared it with him. And I think it was a DM. Did we get a DM? I don't remember. Or was it an email?
I think it was an email.
And someone found his openness to be, you know, very inspiring. So that was awesome. And yes. This week we're going to do another spotlight. And I'm excited to have her on. She is an author and her books are set in the all-star cheerleading world. And I will throw it to the interview now. And I am excited to introduce author Dana Berkey. Hi, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
Great. You're more than an author. You are also a YouTuber. I don't want to miss that because I want to talk about that as well. But I had put you down on my list of people I wanted to put in the spotlight section. Because one of the first thoughts I had when I walked into my first cheer competition 3 years ago was I had a line in a book, which was, there was a sea of bows And I thought this is I thought that this was a fascinating setting for books. And then being a mom, being, you know, at these competitions and sitting there for a long period of time, I looked around and I, you know, saw people selling shirts and bows and things of that nature, but I never saw anyone selling books. And with technology and everything, I think we've all walked away a little bit, including myself. I was a voracious reader as a child, but I have walked away from it, you know, to jump on Facebook because, you know, that's so much more important.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely.
So when I saw you on Instagram, I was like, I want to talk to her. I want to know more about her. And specifically, you have a series, so I know I want to know more about it, but you have a series that is all focused on all-star cheer. It's completely unique. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us the name of the book, tell us the series, how it started.
So the series is called the TNT Force Cheer Series, and the TNT Force is actually the name of the gym that is in the series, and basically, to give you a bit of a background, I actually never have done cheer, which people are always just shocked to hear. But I grew up watching cheer and loving it, and watching like All Star on ESPN2, like Saturday mornings, they'd show Worlds and UCA and stuff. And I always loved it. And so when I started self-publishing about 3.5 years ago, I was writing young adult fiction books and would always watch cheer and noticed there wasn't any cheer books, but didn't really think about it too much. And so 2 years ago now at NCA, I was watching, and it was the year when Cheer Extreme Cougars had their music cut out 30 seconds in. And there they are, you know, performing on one of the biggest stages in the cheer world, and the entire stadium is now counting and helping them. And I remember I was following along on Twitter, and when that moment happened, I had chills, I was in tears, and just the beauty of the sportsmanship just was so fantastic. And I remember just tweeting about it and posting it on Facebook, and literally none of my friends could care less. And I was like, no, guys, this is important. Like, this happened. And they're like, yeah, that's great. No one cares. And I was baffled, and I started thinking about it, and realized as an author, I'm in a unique position where I can talk about things and introduce things to people that maybe they don't know about. And so I sat down and started outlining, and within a week of NCA ending, I had outlined the first 8 books of the series.
Eight books.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. I'm an author too. So I, I'm floored. I'm amazed, but I totally can relate to you about the atmosphere cheer. Cause I mean, that's here I am podcasting about it, and I'm not a cheerleader, but there is something about this industry, and there's something about these athletes, and it's something about this culture that I really appreciate and, I'm grateful for. So it's done a lot for my daughter, specifically. Mm-hmm. So I, you know,
Well, and the funny thing is, I mean, I outlined a lot of different stuff, and I was really trying to decide who the character is, who this lead character is going to be. And so the first 8 books have definitely changed. I've restructured a lot of it, but I mean, I had note cards laying out my entire living room. And not just, you know, generic ideas. There was specific ideas, specific moments. And, I started writing the books in March of last year. I think March 1st was day one of writing the first book, and I wrote the entire first book in 22 days. Just put the pen, or put my fingers to the page, not really pen to paper, but fingers to keyboard, and just poured out this entire book, and the inspiration just really hit. And so
you were in flow.
I'm sorry, what?
You were in flow. That's, you know, I call being in flow.
Jamming. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So the series actually follows a 12-year-old girl who is a super tomboy. You know, she's only raised by her dad. Her mom died of cancer. And so her dad's a scientist. He's, you know, just researcher, does all this. And they're both very much outdoor people. They go hunting, they go fishing, they go camping. So when she sees some girls at the local trampoline park doing flips and stuff, she's like, that's cool. I want to do that. And is kind of put off because they're all pink and sparkly, but she becomes friends with these girls and they see her potential in tumbling and, you know, start saying, you need to come to cheer. And she hates everything about it. You know, she doesn't like the glitter. She doesn't like the outfits and the bows, and all of it just really is not something she's interested in. And so it kind of allows readers that aren't cheerleaders to get welcomed into it slowly, and they get to understand what is a back tuck compared to a layout or a full. And, you know, when they say people are stunting, what does that mean? And, you know, how is a scale different from a scorpion, different from a heel stretch?
That's I'm laughing because I read a book. It's The Settings in Cheerleading. It hasn't been published yet, but it's I think it'll be out in May. But it's set in cheer, but it's not really about cheerleading. It's it's based on my daughter who has some learning. I always get stuck on this word. She just learns differently.
Right.
And yeah. She's a perfectly brilliant little girl, but learns differently than our school system really allows for her to learn freely. So it's more about that. But the backdrop is in cheerleading. And I'm laughing because probably everything that I have with Cheer Bomb right now started with me asking Marcus, who's my co-host, to edit the cheerleading text or writing for me, because I couldn't nail it. I couldn't. I mean, even with my daughter trying to get it, I could not get the language correct. So I had to go to him. And that's how everything kind of stemmed to where we are today, because we started talking about cheerleading and so on. So that's brilliant. But I'm so impressed. What's the title of your series again? I just want to make sure it came out really clear so everyone can go get one. Spring break's coming. Your kids should read. Get them some books.
Yeah, I'm curious. It's called the TNT Force Cheer Series, and book one is called Learning to Fly, and you can get them on Amazon, on paperback, and through Kindle, and then book one and two are also available on Audible, so they make great road trips books. They're great for, you know, long plane rides, and then book three is currently available, or currently, sorry, in production, and will be available before Summit and World. And there's actually... there's five books out in the series right now. And even though I initially outlined about eight, there's a planned 15 plus.
You could go all out on this. So,
yes,
amazing. I wish you the best of luck with it. And I will probably be hitting you up when I'm ready to, launch my book.
yes, absolutely. Yeah.
But let's move to YouTube, because that's where I got a sense of you for watching some of your tidbits on. And I thought that was awesome. It is something. I'm a podcaster. I'm hidden.
Right.
You can't see me, and I'm okay with that. One of our guests coming up he's a YouTuber, wanted to videotape Marcus and I. And I'm like, oh, no. No.
Right.
Tell me how that started. How did you, and I'm in awe of that. My daughter does some YouTube videos, and I think it's fantastic. I think it's a whole new world. Go get it.
Right.
But tell me how that came to be.
I actually started YouTube when I started writing the Cheer series. I've long since followed everyone on Instagram, and, you know, really noticed that the cheer world is its own thing. And so I started to notice, you know, since Instagram cheer, and there's a lot of cheerleaders that I follow on YouTube as well. And so I thought, you know what, this might be a really cool way to connect with, like, kind of the younger audience. And so I actually started the first two videos, and I just did a reaction video on them a couple weeks ago. Kind of a look back. I started doing Two Sentence Tuesday, which was a look at two sentences I had written, and they were, the first one was on March 1st, and that was the first day I started writing the book, and it was the first two sentences from Learning to Fly. And then I also started doing an author vlog, and so it was just going through my day, showing what I was writing, and at that point, I wasn't telling anyone what it was about. I just said, I'm working on a project. And from there, it kind of just naturally was just about what I was writing, what I was doing. I was showcasing bows because I have now a very large bow collection, and just kind of talking about cheer stuff. But I knew my main goal was I wanted to vlog. Mm-hmm. And so, unfortunately, you know, I was writing it right at the end, tail end of a lot of things. So I couldn't really do any stuff with, you know, Summit or World or any competitions. So kind of all summer, I was just sitting there twiddling my thumbs, waiting for cheer to start again. And so once it did, That was when I started vlogging. And so I attend any local competition here in the Pacific Northwest, and I vlog while I'm there. And it's, for me, I just want to be able to celebrate cheer. I want to showcase athletes levels 1 through 5. I want people to be able to be on my videos and you know, show who they are and talk about their gyms. And so the vlogs are definitely one of the biggest things on my channel. And then I also do a lot of reaction videos. So I'll sit and watch cheer, and I'll give everyone my honest reactions to it, which is really fun because as I started doing that, I'll tell people, okay, I'm watching NCAA this weekend. What should I watch? And I'll have people that follow me say, oh, watch my team or watch my sister's team or whatever. And so I then get to watch it, and I kind of do a play-by-play of what I'm seeing and just get to just talk about cheer, and we'll get really great conversations going in the comment section. Or I actually had one case where I reacted to an awards ceremony and the team that won. I get so emotional when I watch cheer, but they won and they were all crying and I was crying. Aww. And I didn't know that team, but then this past year, just 2 months ago at a competition, this girl comes up to meet me and she says, that was my team that won, and I have been dreaming of meeting you ever since, and now I get to.
I love that. So, yeah, so I love that story.
There's all these crazy moments. And like, I mean, I just, Island Elite Steel Tide that won Summit last year, the same thing happened where I happened to react to them. They had an injury. They had to regroup, go back on. I was, you know, just glued to my computer screen, reacted to their awards. I cried, ended up in first place. I was crying the whole time. And as a result, I'm now friends with this entire gym in Hawaii, and they were just at the competition I was at this past weekend.
Oh, fantastic. So, I love that.
Yeah, so it's just so fun, like, just to celebrate cheer. And my big focus is, I don't care if you're level 1 or level 5. I don't care if your gym has 20 people or 120 people or 220. You know, I want to celebrate everybody and just kind of have a place where people can feel important, you know? And so
I love that.
Has a
I love
spot
that.
On my channel.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And you've been so sweet. We just started. We launched, I think, 2 months now ago. And I really appreciate your support on Instagram and stuff. Do you want to share your Instagram handle?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually available on all social media at Dana C. Berkey. The only one is Snapchat. That one's different. It's Dana_Berkey. And I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And always active on basically all of them.
I would love to order some signed copies from you so I can incorporate them in some giveaways. Cheer Bomb.
Absolutely. Let's set that up.
All right. Yay. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Everyone, girls, boys, read. Trust me. It's important. I know we've gotten away from it over the last few years, but it's an important thing, and books just bring things to life. So
absolutely.
Unplug, open up a book. All right. Thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll be talking again very soon.
Sounds great. I look forward to it.
So TJ, thank you so much for coming. This was so much fun.
Like, this was so much fun. We need to have more people.
I know. We need like a whole another hour, huh?
Yeah, I can do that.
I went by so fast.
Someone suggested that next season, because we're going to do this in seasons, so our season will be wrapping up soon, is do like a 2-hour one, but charge for the second hour, because this is free and labor of love.
So. Well, don't forget about Australia. They're in a different season.
And we do have Australians that listen to, download it. It's crazy. I get so excited. I'm like,
I have to go market out there for you. I'm going in two weeks. My God, again.
Oh, tough life.
Eighth time.
I want to go. I want to go for like a summer.
Well, it's right now. There's summers right now. Oh, actually, I guess, is it spring yet? Is it their autumn? It's spring today? Spring.
In my life with 3 children, I'm in the winter of my season. But in about 3, no, how old is she? She just turned 12.
You have a little bit.
In 6 years.
Come on. You can come on with me. Come on.
I'll be rowing over there. But thank you so much for coming. And it was great. You had wonderful. I hope you were comfortable. Didn't make you nervous.
No, I mean, I can keep talking.
So Marcus, we have a couple things to exit with on the podcast. We have so let's talk. We're offering a sponsorship for teams because yes. everyone's fundraising. You know, TJ just mentioned getting hit up. I'm hitting up everyone, you know, for my kid. I'm done fundraising for my kid. I'm like, I'm done. We're done. Like, but I worked hard. I've worked hard fundraising.
You have.
And the team has done an amazing job to fundraise for mm-hmm. our trip. But we have yet, no one has come to claim any of the monies, which to me is like, okay, I'll leave it in the bank, but it's there mm-hmm. For our audience who
yes.
wants to earn at your $200 towards their Summit Worlds bids.
Yeah. So. All you have to do is download the emojis first, our cheer bomb emojis, and like give us a little skit, like with your teammates, with your coaches, like show us like how you use them.
Yeah, just have fun with it. It's super easy. If I had been offered to do this for $200 at the beginning, you think our team mom would not have those children on there with the emojis? So get on it. We do want to help. I know this is a tough season, or a tough, you know, part of the cheerleading world. So do that. Our monthly challenge.
Yes. Cheer Bomb is going green. # Cheer Bomb going green.
So just a few more days.
Or # going green cheer bomb. We've gotten both of them.
Yes. And we see them also. That's good.
Yes.
We have a few more days. March 20th is the deadline yes. to submit, tag us, and participate.
7 days, guys.
Chance to win.
Well, I guess when this comes out.
A calendar.
5 days.
Model for 2019. A bow, a shirt, and a photo shoot.
A photo shoot.
Which seems to be very big in the cheerleading world. So, two more things. Thank you to the sponsors. We have three.
Yes.
We've had three sponsors as of to date. This podcast is brought to us by Spirit Box, mm-hmm. which I want a massive shout out to. She's in the middle of that nor'easter after nor'easter after nor'easter, trying to get those boxes out to all these cheerleaders. Be kind, be loving. UPS is having a tough time. but thanks to her and her wonderful company.
Yes.
We've got Posh Pony and Boom.
Posh Pony is
lovely.
Yes.
Love them. And Cheer
Music Central,
who we love. So thank you all. And the emoji keyboard. You know, y'all keep buying them on the weekend, so thank you. Thank you. And you know, it's totally fine to uninstall them and reinstall them on the weekends for competition season, because that is what we brought them for. So ending this week, I did forget the quote last week.
Yeah.
And someone did tell me that was sweet, that they were like, you didn't do the quote. I was like, oh, sorry. So this one is brought to you by Dr. Seuss. So sometimes you will never know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory. Dr. Seuss. So for all of you going into competitions, just enjoy it. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the experience. Be grateful to your family for getting you there. Be grateful to your coaches, to your teammates. Mm-hmm. Find the positive. Stay in the light. So thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, TJ.
Very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Oh, wait. Rapid fire.
Yes. We didn't tell TJ about this, but...
Oh, God, I'm nervous.
Don't worry. I forgot my notebook. So I'm just going to ask questions.
Like, okay.
Questions.
And I just, the first thing that comes to mind, just say it.
We'll start off super easy. Okay.
Okay. Like, is it like a one word or just like a whatever? Okay. Go for it.
Okay. Ready?
Maybe.
Favorite color?
Blue.
Favorite state?
Ooh, Florida.
Favorite routine you have not competed in?
Oh, Maryland Twisters, F5, all of them.
Classics, all of them. Favorite routine that you have competed in?
I would have to say Brandon All-Stars Steel, or International Co-Ed 5.
Favorite food?
Oh, God, so many. Like Thai food?
Okay.
Maybe not.
All
I don't
it.
Know.
All of it. Favorite fruit?
Oh, I'm gonna go back. Chipotle for sure. That's not even. It's like a category.
They don't have queso.
Yeah, they have queso now. Yeah, well, I don't do the queso because it already makes me, anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, Chipotle. Sorry, that's not like a type of, it's just Chipotle. What was the next question? Sorry.
Favorite competition, like, favorite competition?
That I've competed at or just in general?
In general.
I would have to say NCAA Dallas. I've never competed it, but being there is just, the atmosphere is unbelievable.
I believe it.
Yeah.
And what are you thankful for?
Oh, I'm thankful for, one, my family. I love my family. They're so great. It's kind of cool because now that my niece cheers, they've kind of like had more questions about what I do. Before it was just kind of like, oh, whatever. He just travels and does this. But they're like, they're so supportive. They're like, I mean, my dad, I'll get like glimpses of my dad where he's like telling like, just for, oh my God, my son, he travels here, he travels there. He's like living the life. I wish I could do that. And it's just kind of, it's kind of cool. I love my family. I'm thankful for just all the great friends that I have, the places that I've been to, and yeah, all the people that have believed in me and kind of keep rehire me, I guess.
Well, yeah. That's awesome. Thank you again, TJ.
You are so welcome.
Coming and doing this with us.
You are so very welcome. This is fun.
We had a blast, didn't we?
I did. I stuck in here post. All right, thank you all, have a safe trip, good luck at your competitions, and we will be there. We'll be back next Friday.
See ya.
Before we go, a little word from one of our sponsors, Tameless Designs. Are you going to Worlds or Summit? Call Tameless Designs or check out their website for a truly unforgettable design. Everything from custom shirts and shorts to bags and gifts for the whole team. Stand out from the rest with custom gear for your team. No setup fees. Again, no setup fees. Screen printing, sublimation, glitter, and bling, all done in-house. Mention CheerBomb for a 10% off discount. Check out Tameless Designs at www.tamelessdesigns.com. And as a reminder, if you want to be part of this podcast or sponsor this podcast, contact Marcus and Marisol at officialcheerbomb@gmail.com. Again, officialcheerbomb@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.
At GCU, earning your MBA degree online comes with the college experience. To advance your career in business, it takes support from those around you. Our online class size averages less than 25 students with highly skilled faculty. GCU's Colangelo College of Business offers online MBA programs in real-world emphasis, including accounting, leadership, marketing, sports business, and more. Find your purpose at GCU. Visit gcu.edu/MBA. Information about graduation rates and median debt from students completing the program is available at gcu.edu/disclosures.